Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting. We're glad that you can be here on this Lord's Day and for the last meeting of the conference. I'd like to begin with number 15. Oh, blessed gospel sound, yet there is room. It tells to all around, yet there is room. The guilty may draw near, though vile you need not fear. Ladies and gentlemen, with joy you now may hear, yet there is room. I'd like to sing number 15. Would someone start it, please?
Oh, blessed gospel sound, yet there is room.
Because tonight, you can leave a changed person. We're going to pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we'll sing another song. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be here tonight to go over the wonderful news. If you're here tonight by an invitation of a friend or someone from work, we want to welcome you. We're thankful that you're here. We've been holding meetings here the last 2 days, and the meetings have been really good. We've had a chance to learn more about the Lord Jesus. We've had a chance to open up the Holy Bible. And yet we're so fortunate, before we end this conference, that once again, we can go over the wonderful news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that those doors that you have come through, listen to this good news, you can leave tonight knowing Jesus as your Savior. And if you've been here the entire time, guys, it's time to make a decision. It's time to say yes to Jesus. To walk out these doors. To walk out the doors in the back. He's putting off something that you should not be putting off. Today is the day of salvation. In the back of this gymnasium, there's a scoreboard. There's one up here, too. We're in a gym, and during the basketball game, they keep score of baskets and points that have been made. But in the basketball game, eventually the scoreboard, the clock, ticks down. And eventually there comes a point where it's game over. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your chance to say yes to Jesus Christ. Tonight, you have that opportunity. Tomorrow, maybe too late. Let's get in the game tonight. We're going to sing also number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes, it's in this book, the Bible, for the Bible tells me so. Whether you're small, little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. The message that we present to you tonight, you could be 3 years old, you could be in middle school, you could be in high school, you may be away at Vincennes University or visiting at another university, you could be an adult, a grandparent. Good news, guys, this message is for you. And every single person who hears this message tonight, you can receive Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't, no one's going to be able to walk out of this room saying, nobody loves me. Jesus loves you. We're excited to share that message with you tonight. And I'm looking forward to singing this song. I hope you are too. If Jesus is your Savior, I hope you sing it with some enthusiasm. And if you're not, I want you to listen. And as we sing this song, I hope your heart is open and you will realize how much He loves you. Let's stand and sing number 40.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Yeah.
About the Lord Jesus, just hear those words, yes, Jesus loves me. And that message, that good news, applies to every single person in this room. It's marvelous. It's exciting. And tonight, how wonderful, tonight you can accept Jesus as your Savior. Tonight what we present before you comes from this book. It's called the Bible. We're going to use it tonight. If you have a Bible, we ask that you follow along in your Bible. For those of you that are following electronically, you can do that as well. We want you to remember it's not what I say. I'm not perfect myself. But tonight we're presenting to you what God says. And yes, He is perfect 100% of the time. I want to begin by asking a question. So if you would open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 14. And as you're opening your Bible to John chapter 14, I want you just to raise your hand if you've heard of a place called heaven. Okay. I want you to raise your other hand if you've heard of a place called hell. The question that we have before us is we need to find out, how do we get to heaven? Because, you know, there's a lot of different people out there with a lot of different ideas on how to get to heaven. And when it comes to something so important, we want to make sure that we are 100% sure. Not hoping, not wishing, not maybe, but we want you to leave tonight knowing and being able to say, I know exactly how to get there. Sound good, doesn't it? John chapter 14 and verse 5. John chapter 14 and verse 5, we're going to read the last part of the verse. It says, and how can we know the way? Guys, have you ever wondered that? Can we know how to get to that place called heaven? Is it possible that we can know how to get there? Good news. The answer is yes. This is how we get there. Verse 6. Go ahead and follow along with me, please. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm going to read it again. I want you to follow along with your eyes. Put your finger on it. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tonight, your way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we present to you a Savior, a person. If you've come here tonight wondering what you have to do as far as joining a church or doing some type of meritous or good deed, the news for you tonight is it's not about joining a church. It's not about doing some good thing. Tonight it's about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night Jim Hyland brought before us, behold the man. Behold the Savior. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is waiting to save you. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. He's not a way. He is the only way. And the wonderful news is tonight, you can come through Him. I said I'm not a perfect person, and you know that's true of every single one of us in this room. Raise your hand if you've done something wrong. Raise your hand if you've sinned. If your hand is not raised, we've got to make sure we get the hand up, right? The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're saying, well, yes, that's true of me, I've sinned, and that's true of every single person, here's some good news, listen carefully, that tonight those sins and every single one of them can be forgiven. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's marvelous that those sins can be forgiven. But furthermore, I want you to realize, as Jim brought out last night, that not only have we all sinned, but we are helpless. We can't get to God on our own strength. We can't get to God by doing it our way. We need Jesus. We need a Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's kind of trying to cover up those sins and kind of pretending that day you haven't sinned. Is that you tonight? I want to tell you a story about John and Sally. They had the chance to go and visit their grandparents who lived on a farm. How many of you have been to a farm or visited a farm? Good. As you can tell, I like to try and involve people when I'm talking. So John and Sally were younger. I think they were younger than 10 years old, but they were excited. They got to go visit their grandparents on a farm. And some of you might have heard the story before, but John was given a slingshot to play with. Any of the young boys or girls know what a slingshot is used for? What you do with a slingshot? What's that? Yeah, you shoot things. And he had the slingshot and get some of those stones and put it in it, pull it back, and have some fun with it. Well, on the farm, Grandpa and Grandma had a pet duck. And Johnny was playing around with his slingshot and saw the pet duck, and I don't know what got into him, but he decided to take aim at the duck. Grandma's pet duck. Put the stone in the slingshot, pulled it back. Anybody guess what happened? He hit the duck. Hit the duck so hard, the duck was killed. Johnny had a problem. Grandma's pet duck is dead. What do we do with the dead duck? Well, on the farm, there was a pile of wood, and Johnny got an idea. He thought, maybe I'll hide that duck underneath the pile of wood, kind of cover it up real nice so nobody sees it, and if the duck comes up missing, which it would, I don't know where the duck is. Well, so Johnny decided to act on that thought. He took the duck, covered it up with wood. Nobody's going to know until he turned around, and there was his sister watching him. Oh, no. What's going to happen now? Sally just saw Johnny cover up the duck with the wood. You think Sally would go and tell Grandpa and Grandma what happened? Let's stop for a second. Let me ask you a question. Is it a good idea? And we've established the fact that we all have sinned. Is it a good idea to try and cover up those sins and pretend like we haven't done anything wrong? How do you sleep at night knowing that before the eyes of a holy God, your heart's not right? Not very comfortable, is it? Not very comfortable. So Sally didn't say anything that night, and I don't know if Johnny was relieved, but here's how she did it. The next night, or the next day, Grandpa invited John to go fishing with him. Sally would have to stay behind and help Grandma with the dishes. Johnny would get to go fishing. But Sally was smart. And so Sally, when she heard that Johnny was invited, she just piped in and said, "Actually, Grandpa, Johnny said that he wants to stay home and help Grandma with the dishes. Didn't you, Johnny? Remember the duck?" Poor Johnny. He did remember the duck. Johnny had to stay home and help Grandma with the dishes. Sally got to go fishing. The next day, Grandpa needed to go into town. And Johnny was invited. And Sally was invited, but then Grandma said, "Actually, I need Sally to stay behind and help me with some laundry." Well, Sally was really smart, and actually she piped in and said, "Actually, Grandma, Johnny wants to stay home and help you with the laundry today. Don't you, Johnny? Remember the duck?" He did. Johnny had to stay home. Sally got to go with Grandpa into town. Poor Johnny, 2 days in a row, he had to stay home because his sister was using that against him. It happened one or two more days, and poor Johnny, each time he had to stay home. Finally, Johnny got to the point where he could stand it no longer. He could stand it no longer that his sister was using this to his advantage. And he went and told his grandma the true story. Explained to her, "Grandma, I am sorry. I killed your duck. And I covered it up with the wood. I'm sorry." That's a good thing to do, isn't it? When we sin, to admit it. Grandma, she told Johnny, "Johnny, I forgive you. You see, I was standing at the window the day that you killed my duck, and I saw the whole thing. I wanted to see how long you let Sally make a slave of you." Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, God is watching from heaven, and as it were, he's seen the whole thing. And tonight there's ones in this room, and you know who you are, who are just like Johnny, and trying to cover it up. And here's what this book says: "He that covereth his sins will not prosper." He that covereth his sins will not prosper. Let's say it all together. He that covereth his sins will not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Tonight, if you are sitting in this room and you are like Johnny, you have committed those sins and have not yet told the Lord Jesus that you are sorry for your sins. Tonight, if you have not invited him to be your Savior, you're not going to be happy. In fact, you're going to go to bed tonight and you're going to have this on your conscience, knowing that you are not ready to meet Jesus. And that's a serious thing, isn't it? But the good news is tonight that we can tell you that there is forgiveness. And tonight, if you will admit and be honest, instead of trying to cover it up, and say, "Yes, I am what this book says I am. I've done what this book says I've done. I'm going where this book says I'm going." If you'll be honest tonight and confess your sins to Jesus, all your sins can be forgiven. That's marvelous. I want you to remember that story. Remember the duck. And tonight, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you are still in your sins, I want you to remember that Johnny had no peace until he admitted that he had done wrong and accepted him. You know where boys and girls, you know where adults go who die in their sins? Do they go to the good place or do they go to the bad place? Everybody, where do they go? They go to the bad place. That place is called hell. That's serious. Is there anyone who wants to go there tonight? Do you know who's going there? The devil will end up going there. Do you want to go to the same place that he's going? No. If you die in your sins, you will go to that bad place. And we don't want a single person in this room, and anyone who's listening to this recording, we don't want you going there either. The good news is that you don't have to go. The good news is tonight, you can have your sins forgiven. The Bible says, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot go. And we don't want a single person, and that means you, to go there. We want you to leave these gym doors in 20 minutes or so, knowing Jesus as your Savior. We want you to avoid the judgment that is coming on this world. If you were listening carefully during the meetings, you heard that Jesus is coming. For those that have joined us tonight, in the meetings we've been talking about a time that's coming soon where we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our desire is that you, too, will be able to join us in that place. We don't want a single one in this room or a single one who's listening to this recording to end up in the lake of fire. We want you to escape that judgment. And the way that you can do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the story, and I don't always tell the stories as well as others do, but it was in the Echoes of Grace. And some of you might have saw it. It was a story about an engineer named Jim Root who was driving a train. That's what engineers do. Driving a train through the state of Minnesota. And this happened back in the late 1800s, back before there was electricity, back before there was indoor running water, back before there was cell phones, back before there was the internet. And he was guiding that train down the train tracks, heading toward the city of St. Paul, Minnesota. And as he was driving, what's the right word? Engineering the train. That'll do for right now. As he was engineering the train off in the distance, he saw that there was a forest that was on fire. The smoke was going up, and he could see the flames. Now, back then, cars hadn't been invented. And as far as I know, there wasn't any streams or bodies of water close by where people could get into a boat and escape. And the only way of escape was to go to the railroad tracks and hopefully try and get on board this train and get out before the whole forest caught on fire and people started to die. It's a good idea if there's a fire to get out of the way, isn't it? You know what's an even better way, an idea? Is if you're on your way to hell to accept Jesus as your Savior. That's a wise thing to do. Well, the engineer got closer and closer to the city. The flames were getting more intense. The smoke was going up. And as I remember from the story, the engineer realized that up ahead there was a trestle, a bridge that went over the water, and that he wasn't going to be able to cross that river. He also realized that there was a lot of people who would not be able to escape the forest fire if they didn't get on board this train. And so Jim Root put on the brakes and brought the train to a stop. And people were running and coming to the train. This was going to be the only way to safety. And what the engineer would have to do is put the train in reverse and back up. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you knew and you were living back then that your house was going to be burned up, would you stick around to find your items, or would you try and get out as fast as you could? You'd probably want to get out as fast as you could, wouldn't you? Let me ask you another question. If you had a father, a mother, a brother, or a sister, would you try and make some effort to make sure that they got out too? I think you would. I would. Do you ever wonder why we have gospel meetings? Just like these people were trying to get away from the fire, we want you to escape the coming judgment. If you had a pet dog or cat or turtle or rat or lizard, or would you want to try and bring that pet with you too? You'd probably go so far as to make sure that none of your loved ones or animals were caught in the fire. And people were running to the train. And the engineer waited as long as he could. But there came a point in time where at last Even though the fire was coming and burning and the smoke was going up, finally he had to say, I've got to get the train going in reverse and we've got to get out of here. It was time sensitive, and this message tonight is time sensitive. We cannot wait. Yet there is room, but eventually it'll be too late. Well, Jim Root, the engineer, he put the train in reverse. And with people on board that train, clinging, crying, screaming, praying, he went backwards, trying to get away as fast as he could. As I understand it, the fire was so intense that some of the windows on the train, the engine had broken. And they even poured some water on Jim Root to help him stay conscious. The good news is that he was able to drive the train backwards about 6 miles to where there was a body of water. And many of the passengers on board that train were able to jump off and get some cool water. They were able to find Jim Root, the engineer. His hand was on the throttle, very badly burned. He himself was burned as well. Thankfully, he lived, but at a tremendous cost to him. And he was regarded by many as a hero for risking his life so that the passengers of this town could escape the fire. I'm reminded of one who didn't risk his life. He gave his life. Let's turn to that verse. It's in Galatians chapter 2. Please follow along as we read it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, here it is, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jim Root was a hero. He risked his life so that many people could get to safety. Tonight we bring before you the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, lived a real life, and eventually went to Calvary's cross, and there died a real death, so that you and I could escape the coming judgment. You see, what happened is while he was on the cross, he was punished for the sins that I have committed. And he was punished for the sins that you committed if you will repent and put your faith and trust in him. The ones who were saved in the story were the ones who got on the train. And tonight you will be saved if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. If anyone back then was foolish enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to get on board the train, I'm going to try and escape some other way, they weren't going to make it. Can we be real clear tonight? I mean real clear. Let's listen carefully. If you try to get to heaven on your own or through some other way, you will not make it. And you will end up in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't want a single person to go there. When we preach the gospel, this message is about one who can save you and who can change your life. Regardless of what you have said, regardless of what you have done, it is his joy, the Lord's joy, to come in and save you, to give you a new life and to help you. That's wonderful, isn't it? Regardless of what you've done, and friends, I don't know your past, but I do know this, that tonight the Lord Jesus, he wants to forgive you. He wants to set you free. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, tonight it would be his joy. And it would be our joy, too, to know that you have finally said yes. That you have finally made a decision that I am not going to cover my sins. I am not going to try to do it on my own, but I am going to realize and I am going to admit that I have sinned. It's his home. He can't allow any sin in. But the good news is he wants you to come. And tonight, he wants you to come just as you are. Don't try to start tomorrow, April 2nd, by living a new life. Don't try to do it on your own. Tonight, just as you are, admit, I have sinned. I have sinned. And if you admit that, repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're going to be able to leave this room a saved person. We've only got about 5 minutes left. Time goes by very, very quickly. And as we start to wrap things up, first I want to thank the brethren here for inviting us here. We've had a very wonderful time. The ministry has been phenomenal. But I need you to listen very carefully. It's not going to do you good tonight if you don't know Jesus as your Savior to walk out these doors in your sins. Guys, we've got to make that decision tonight. We can't be putting it off. Tonight is your night. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. In this gym, when a basketball player shoots the basket, the ball either goes in the net or off the backboard and in. Some way or another, it goes in and the team gets points or it doesn't go in. It's that simple. It's either in or it's not in. And tonight it's real simple. You either are saved or you're not saved. And tonight you can leave knowing the Lord Jesus is your Savior. We want you to accept Jesus as your Savior. We don't want you to put it off. We're in the gymnasium of the Yellow Jackets, and on the wall it says, "Sting 'em, Jackets." In 1 Corinthians 15 it says, "The sting of death is sin." But the good news is, let's turn to it, 1 Corinthians 15 as we start to wrap it up. The good news is, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, tonight you can know Jesus as your Savior, and you can say, as verse 55 says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Oh, but it gets good. Listen to this. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do you want victory in your life? Victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. These athletes, they want the victory. They want the win. They've got to get the ball in the hoop. Tonight, it's not about athletics. It's about the victory. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through yourself. It's not through trying harder. It's not by going to church. It's not by trying to change it. The victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you tonight to come just as you are. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, for those of us who can say, "I claim the victory," let's say it together. "I claim the victory." All together. "I claim the victory." Verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Your labor is not in vain. Continue to give out those gospel tracts. Continue to tell your friends. Continue to tell your neighbors, the people that you work with. Let them know that there is victory in Jesus. Let's sing a song in closing. Number 4. "Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Praise the Lord, now by His grace I am free." You say, "Oh, you get excited about this." Yes, we do. It's a message of deliverance. And there is power in the blood. And tonight, Jesus can be your Savior. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding His blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me. Would you like to leave happy tonight? Can you leave with these words? Now I can say I am pardoned. Happy. Marvelous, isn't it? And justified free. Saved. Can you say I'm saved? By my blessed Redeemer. This is the Savior for me. Ladies and gentlemen, He saved me when I was a young boy. He has saved many in this room. And tonight, He'll be your Savior if you'll accept Him. Number four. Let's stand.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior.
Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would take what